Edmonton with us, and he's a mental health therapist. And then we have three other kids that live in Saskatchewan, and two of them are our two daughters. They both have children. And so we have three little grandchildren. The oldest is 2.5, and then just a couple of babies. And you know, grandbabies, they're awesome. Does anybody here have any grandbabies? Yes. Woo. How many of you like them? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. We got the same number of hands that time. So that, right? Aren't grandkids just the most fun ever? And you know, like, because our grandkids live out of province, we only get to see them, you know, on occasion. We do, you know, fairly often. But you know, we go there and we go to our kids' house and our grandkids are there, and we're just, you know, we're just all about those grandkids. You know, we just kind of push our kids out of the way and we just kind of get to those little grandbabies and our grandsons, and we just scoop them up and we're just like, oh yeah, you're the best. Doo 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 doo, you know. We gotta make all the faces and say all the silly things, and we just get them all ramped up, you know, and they're just like, ah, and then they, you know, they take your hand and they gotta show you all the new stuff that they've got or that they've done and their latest tricks, and you know, they go and they just take you, and you're just all about them, right? You've got all the time and joy to take on these little guys. And mom and dad, you know, mostly are okay with that because they're like, oh, finally I can do something, you know, I can get some other things done. And but you know what, like, we just have this special bond with grandkids, right? You know, you ever notice that grandparents and grandkids kind of have a special bond? Right? Do you know why that is? You have a common enemy. No, the parents. I'm kidding. You know, I'm just. I'm just kidding. That's not how it is. But you have this special bond, and you get them all hyped up. And because we get to go visit our grandkids, you know, on occasion, we kind of stay at their house, right? We stay at their house, and we sleep there, and we wake up in the morning, and we start the day all over again, excited to see these little guys. And we just pour into them, you know, just every moment that we can, we're trying to spend with them, but they get a little overexcited. Anybody ever had a child that's gotten overexcited? Yeah, right, for sure. And they start, you know, getting a little overwhelmed, and they get a little bit, it gets to be a little bit too much, right? And finally, grandma and grandpa have to leave, and mom and dad go, oh, now I have to reset my kid, right? You know, there's no extra sugar going into the system. There's no extra playtime. The routine that all got messed up, now I have to kind of reset my kid. You know, kind of get them focused, get them back on track, get them going in the direction they're supposed to go, get them doing the things they're supposed to do. Am I alone? Is there anybody that experiences this? Yes, one or two. Yeah, it's good, right? Just keep giving them more sugar. You know, they'll get there, right? Yeah, it's fun. But you know, like, the world kind of gets like that for all of us at times, right? Where we start to feel like there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things that are happening in our space. You know, we've got our families, which take a ton of time, and they're so valuable. And then there's work, and then there's community, and then there's our faith. And there's the things that pull on us and draw us, you know, and they consume our time. You know, and in the world that we now live, there's a few worries. Does anybody, and maybe you can't admit this in church, I don't know, but has anybody got any worries? Things that kind of weigh on you moment by moment, right? I love this, right? We have worries in our lives. We can worry about all kinds of things. We can worry about our finances. We can worry about our relationships. We can worry about our kids. We can worry about, you know, how the coming year is going to go. We can worry about a lot of things. And sometimes in our lives, those worries, those concerns, they're kind of like when we get kids overwhelmed, right? The routine gets distracted, and the things that we hold dear kind of take a back seat. And all of a sudden, we find that we're a little bit unsettled, that we're not quite sure how to come back to a grounded place, to a settled place where we all of a sudden again feel the fullness and the peace of God. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been to that place where you kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed by the world, a little bit overwhelmed by life, a little bit off track maybe? So how then do we get grounded? You know, my daughter, when we leave, you know, when we leave the grandchildren, you know, she says, you know, these kids, they need to touch grass, right? They need to touch grass again. And what she means is they need to get grounded. They need to go outside. They need to just experience peaceful moments. Anybody live on a farm or acreage or that kind of thing? Anybody like going outside? Anybody like summer? Good. Wouldn't that be nice, hey? Wouldn't summer be nice? And just enjoying the outdoors, enjoying that moment. You ever been in that place where you've just been blessed by the sunshine? You know, where you just step outside and the sun just warms you up? Or there's a nice breeze that's got a nice aroma on it, you know, freshly harvested field or a furrowed field, whatever, you know, just that earthy smell, and or right after a rain. You know that smell right after rain? You know what they say, scientists say? That we should not be able to smell that aroma right after a rain because it's so minute that you technically shouldn't be able to smell it, and yet we all can. Isn't that a wonderful smell? And doesn't that just make you go, ah, it's nice, right? It's just full of joy. But you know, there's also a path that we take, a way that we touch grass when it comes to our spiritual life, when it comes to our soul, when it comes to our anxieties, when it comes to our worries, and even when it comes to our over-blessings. Has the Lord over-blessed you? Have you ever sensed, just taken stock of the blessing of the Lord in your life? And that over-blessing, the overabundance, the over-goodness of God, wow, that's good stuff. God is so good to us. But sometimes, even on the over-blessing side, we can forget God, right? We can get so self-reliant, so focused on the gifts that He's given us that we've forgot to see Him. And there's a thing that we do where we can come back and we can kind of touch grass. My oldest son, like I said, is a mental health therapist. And among his colleagues who face, you know, all kinds of troubled people, lots of mental health issues, lots of addiction, lots of concern. Among themselves, one of the things that they say to each other is, you know, sometimes these people just need to touch grass. It's kind of a common phrase now. They just need to touch grass. They need to get centered again. They need to get outside. They need to let all these other things move aside. And then that's what I found about this particular passage that we're looking at. And I was so excited that Friendship Church had been looking at these two passages, the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23, because they're so connected to each other. And I thought, you know, when I look at the Lord's Prayer, my personal experience with the Lord's Prayer has been that it very much acts like grass for me, right? It very much acts like grass. When I'm worried, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm concerned, or when I'm overblessed, when I come back to the Lord's Prayer, it's like touching grass. And there's five verses in the basic Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to do an acrostic today so that we can remember the Lord's Prayer and its impact in bringing us back to a settled place. And so guess what the acrostic is? Grass. It's grass. G-R-A-S-S. And so that's what we're going to just have a little brief. I was told I only get 15 minutes, so I probably blew that already. I'm not sure where we're at with that. But when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, there's probably nothing more settling to the soul than engaging with that particular passage. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because there's two things that happen in that small little phrase, that small little sentence. One is that we refocus. We refocus on the primary relationship of our lives, our Father who is in heaven. And so the word that we're going to try to remember is glorify and grapple. I did two G words. Glorify and grapple, right? Because he says, and we'll talk about this. So when we are overwhelmed, when our life is needing to be settled again, there's one quick way that we can kind of get there, and that is by glorifying God. By just setting everything aside. Set aside that worry. Set aside that concern. Set aside that thing that's overwhelming us. And let's just come to this place where we begin to glorify God. Where we just begin in our prayer and in our mind to say the good things that God has done in our lives. To exalt Him. Right? Because what does it do? It gets our head from looking down here at our problem, at our concern, and it turns our head upwards. And all of a sudden, we are not looking at the problem, we are looking at the problem solver. We are not looking at the finite little thing, we are looking at the grand, the God of all the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? We are all of a sudden getting a new perspective. And instead of being overwhelmed by the trouble in our lives, we get to spend time in the grandeur glorifying God who created all of these things. Right? Isn't that amazing? What an incredible thing that we are gifted to be able to do to help us resettle our soul. But then there's also this other, the second part of that, right? Hallowed be your name. And this is where we grapple. It's to grapple with the holy, right? Because so much of our lives are overwhelmed by the common, by the basic things, the everyday things. And we get overwhelmed by that. You know, does anybody love reading the book of Leviticus? Nah, no, not really, right? That's a long one. You know, if you read through the Bible, you get to that one in Numbers, and you're just like, ugh. There's so many rules, so many things. But you know, spread throughout the book of Leviticus is this little phrase. And it says, so that my people will know the difference between the common and the holy. Right? Lots of those rituals and those laws and those practices that God put in place for his people was so that they could discern the difference between the common and the holy. And you know, the problem with our world is that everything is becoming common. There are very few things that are set aside as sacred anymore, as holy, right? We can even throw our Lord's name in common speech, usually as a curse. We try to commonize and degrade what God says is holy. But it's a good practice for us. It's a good practice for us to practice the holy, right? That's why the Lord in the Old Testament set aside one day a week, right? He says, because it's a holy day, because it's the practice of engaging with the holy, with the set apart, with the sacred that is invigorating to our soul, that there is a higher standard, that there is a place where we can reach up to in the presence of our God, and He is holy. And so He calls us to be holy, and He calls us His children. And He says in this prayer, Our Father, right? And He's saying, I'm a holy God, and you are my children. And do you know what that makes you? Holy. You are holy children of God, right? That's a thing to remember, because the enemy will come and he'll attack who you are. And he'll say all kinds of lies about who you are, how you're not good enough, how you're never going to make it, how you're inferior, how God can't love you, all the different lies. But God says you're holy because I'm holy. Right? And if we can handle that, if we get back to that place where we're feeling overwhelmed, where we're feeling worried, and we can enter into this prayer, and we can say, Holy God.
Holy God.
Right? I glorify you. Right?
Right.
I love this guy.
Right, Kevin.
It's awesome. It settles us. So that's G, glorify and grapple. Glorify God and grapple with the holy, because it helps settle us. So if I see somebody stand up with a hymn book, I'll know I've gone over time. The second thing in our Lord's Prayer, right? He says, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. right? When we are getting overwhelmed, when we're getting concerned, when we're getting overblessed, God calls us to re-engage with the mission, right? He says, this is your purpose. If you've ever wondered what your purpose is, and as we age and as we change in our lives, we question over and over, what is our purpose? As young people, we're entering in and we're looking, what is my identity? Who am I in this world? What's my place in this world? And God says, you are my child and this is your mission, right? Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to enter into the kingdom of God, working with God that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever career choice we choose, whatever person that we get married to or relationship we're in, that is a part of our purpose. We are children of God, and our purpose is to, with Christ, usher in His kingdom, right? Do His will as much as it's up to us to do that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth where we are as in heaven. But as we get older, our purpose, we also question it, right? When our kids move out of home, we're like, okay, well, if my whole, you know, big part of my life has been caring for my kids, now what? Right? What's my purpose now? When we see our kids, you know, as we become grandparents, we ask again, what's my purpose now? What's my role now? Once we're no longer in the workforce or have a career and we're in retirement, the question is, what's my purpose now? Right? What do I do now? And every time when we feel overwhelmed by those things, God says, your purpose remains the same. Lord God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who are the people right around you that you can minister to? What is the gifting that God has given you? What is the anointing that He's placed on your life? Do you know that you've all got that gifting? We've all got that anointing, right? For the gift, for the ministry that God has for us. And He doesn't give up on us, right? The gifts and the calling, Scripture says, are irrevocable. That when God gives it to you, it's yours to own. And when we get overwhelmed, He says, re-engage in my kingdom. Serve out of love other people and bring my kingdom to them. My encouragement, my hope, my message, my good news, my salvation. And re-engage. Re-engage if you're feeling overwhelmed. So that's R, re-engage, right? Gratitude, re-engage. And now A, this is the fun one. This one is ask, right? Give us this day our daily bread, is what Jesus said. He says, ask. Oh my goodness. This is fun. Because you and I, we get to go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator of all things. And Jesus said in the book of John, He said, whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. Has anybody tested that? Have you tested it? Oh my goodness. If you want reinvigorated life, test it. Test it. Be extravagant. Ask the Lord. I mean, He's not going to be offended, right? He wants you to ask. He calls us over and over and over again. Ask me, seek me, look for me, ask me, do it. Because there is something that just builds anticipation when we choose to ask God for something. You know what? And I say, just ask for whatever. It doesn't matter, right? Like lots of times we like to put the rules on there, you know, and it's okay. You know what? We might ask for something that's completely selfish. But if that's what's on your heart, I would say ask anyway, because God is able, through the asking, to work through your heart. And He will either change your heart, or He will draw you to the thing that you really are looking for. Right? But ask. Just ask. Ask and trust and say, God, your word says that you, that the Father will give us whatever we ask for. Oh my God, and I know that that's a hard one to believe, right? But friends, it's not about the outcome. It's about the ask. It's about the anticipation. It's about the hope that when we ask, based on a promise of Scripture, God will give it. So that's kind of the extreme side. And I know you're looking at me going like, man, I don't know about this guy. This seems a little... And I'm not doing prosperity gospel, right? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying ask. Ask to reinvigorate your soul, right? To get close to God, to get reset. Remember the joy, the anticipation, the love, the excitement you had when you first came to know Jesus? Right? Anybody? Is anybody happy when they first came to know Jesus? Nobody. Oh boy, we're going to be here for a long time. Right? Yes! Right? When we first engaged, when we first felt the Spirit, we were excited. Jesus came. And He transformed us. Wow. So ask. Reinvigorate that relationship because God wants you to, right? And just enjoy the adventure. And it'll resettle you. It'll focus you. God will focus your mind on what you need to ask for. So gratitude, right? Glorify God. Grapple with the holy. Re-engage with the mission. And ask God, right? So we're getting there. We only have two left, and then this thing is over, and you can walk me out the door. It'll be good. The third one is simply say, I forgive you. Say, I forgive you. That's the S, say. Say, I forgive you, right? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Here he's speaking specifically about relationship, right? Has relationship and the worry and the concern about relationship, important people in your life, ever overwhelmed you, ever caused you concern, ever burdened you, ever made it feel like you're falling under the circumstances instead of overcoming? Where you're worried, you're praying, you're concerned. This is what this whole passage is talking about, this verse. Forgive us our sins, right? As we forgive those who sin against us. It's not so much about saying sorry or being told that somebody else is sorry. It is about the act of forgiveness. Because forgiveness, unforgiveness, is a weight that no human can really bear without crushing your soul. Right? Unforgiveness, that anger, that need for correction, even vengeance, can rot the soul, right? Because we need to forgive. We need to forgive because God forgave us. And I know in popular, even theology, there's this idea that you need to forgive yourself, right? And I'm just going to be very careful about that. Because when you grapple with the truth of what that says, we run into some dangerous places. Because somehow that makes us a victim of our own sinful acts. Right? I need to forgive myself for something that I did. I don't know. I just don't see it in Scripture. I think Scripture says us what we need to do, like David, is read Psalm 51 and say, against you and you only have I sinned. And it's not about forgiving ourselves for something we've done. Listen, it's about grappling with the fact that we're sinful. That's the point. That's the reason that we have salvation. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Right? Because we're sinful. We do sinful things because sin is in us. And when we let it out, we hurt people. And the primary thing that we need is not to forgive ourselves, it's to humble ourselves and to come before a holy God and say, I have acted in an unholy manner. I have sinned, and I need your forgiveness. Right? We need the forgiveness of God. But we have to accept it. To just say, God, forgive me for the wrong I've done, but then never accepting and keep beating ourselves up about it isn't glorifying to God. He says, I am the only one in the universe who can actually forgive you and make it effectual to set you free. Right? And so what we need to do is we need to ask God and receive from Him alone forgiveness. Right? Because to forgive ourselves without coming to God and just saying it's a thing I need to forgive myself for somehow sets us up above God. Right? That we're the standard. And that's a scary thing. I understand why people say it and what they do and all those things, but I'm just cautioning to say that our forgiveness comes from God, and from God we are allowed to forgive others. Right? Because He's the standard. It's not about me. He's the holy. And so I forgive. So say, I forgive you. And don't hold on to it. Because it'll crush your soul. And you'll never feel settled. Right? So now the last one. So we glorify God. We re-engage with the mission. We ask. We say, I forgive you. And the last one, stay away from evil. Stay away from evil, grass. Because evil will ravage your soul. Right? We know this. Oh, come on. Right? We know what sin does. We know what engaging with evil does. It grates on our soul. Right? Have you ever been baking something, working on something? You know, the old potato peeler thing? I just get sweaty palms and weak knees when I see people using that. You know, they hold the potato and they're just like slicing it, and then all of a sudden, there goes a quarter of their thumb, you know, because they, right? Yeah, that's sin, right? That's evil. That's evil in this world. When we engage with evil, that's what it's like. Right? It just grates on our soul. It burdens us. It makes us raw and angry. Right? Have you noticed the world is becoming more and more angry? Right? Oh my goodness. It was only, a couple months ago? When somebody's driving down the QE2 and somebody pulls up beside them and shoots them, right? Did you ever hear of that 40 years ago? Hardly, right? School shootings, all this stuff. Man, evil is on the rise, right? And it grates on our soul. Does anybody feel that? Does anybody feel the sin and the evil of the world grate on your soul? It's just like, it's just so wrong. And all the more so if we engage. Right? When we lower our standard. When we are so encumbered by the evil of the world that we all of a sudden start. Right? And oftentimes it starts with our language. I mean, words that used to be cuss words when I was a kid that, boy, if you really wanted to say the thing, you know, you would say this word and that was just the extreme and you could expect your backside to get warmed up, right? The Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding. Right? That's how my parents parented, right? So if you want to say the word, get in trouble, say the word, right? But now it's a common cuss words. Taking the Lord's name in vain. They're just ordinary. There's ordinary words. They've become common. And it's easy to grapple with. It's easy to come into our own language. Where we're working, we hit our thumb with a hammer. When we're driving, right? You know, you can literally, and this is my confession, I've done this. You can literally be praising the Lord to the Christian radio station, driving down the Henday, going on the QE2, doo-doo-doo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Somebody cuts you off, idiot! Where did you learn to drive? Did you get your driver's license from a Cracker Jack box? What's going on, right? In an instant, we can go from praising the Lord with one tongue and in a moment cursing our fellow man. Right? We can, right? That happens. It's easy and we see it all the time. Right? But it's not good for our soul. And sometimes you even need to just spend some time in the Lord's Prayer after you've been on the highway. You know, I just got to get resettled again. I got to glorify God because I'm still alive. You know, I didn't die on this trip. I gotta, you know, re-engage with the mission that I'm here to bless people and love people, not curse them. That I need to ask God. I need to ask God for His provision, for His safety, for His goodness. I need to say, I forgive you. I'm sorry. You know, I forgive you for cutting me off and almost sending me into the ditch or whatever the context is. Right? And I need to stay away. I need to stay away from sinning and from evil. Because when we engage in that way, the power of the Lord's Prayer, we get resettled. We touch grass again. And that's where I just want to close with Psalm 23, because it's exactly, this is the outcome. Psalm 23 is the outcome of touching grass, of living the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I just want to say just thank You. And just glorify Your name because of Your powerful word. And Lord, there are times in our lives when we just need to be resettled in Your presence. We just need to touch grass again. We need to be reoriented to Your goodness, to Your glory, to Your love. We need to re-engage with Your mission. We need to ask You for what You want to give into our lives. We need to forgive the people around us. And we need to stay away from evil. Please forgive us, Lord, where we have stumbled. Raise us up again. Bring us to that settled place, the great pastures where You allow us to lie down by still waters. Restore our soul, Lord. We thank You for this morning. In Your name, amen.